The church says, amen. God is good. Amen. Now, I'll be in Titus, or rather in Ephesians 2:10 in just a moment. But, you know, remember last Sunday, I talked about how these 46 verses or whatever it has been in Titus, I mean, it's at God's perfect timing that toward the end of the year, we would find ourselves in that great epistle by Paul, and who left, of course, Titus on the island of Crete to set things in order, the things that are lacking. And of course, that was sound doctrine was lacking. And, you know, sound meaning healthy. You know, if you have healthy teaching, the Word of God, and you obey the Word of God by His grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will have a healthy church. Amen? Now, with all that being said this morning, remember that the theme, and you could have many themes in Titus, but remember the theme is good works, okay? Mentioned 7 times by the Apostle Paul. And so when we look at that, you know, either a church is obedient to obey and do the good works that God has called them to do, and if not, they're not a healthy church, amen? So let me, as we look this morning from the sermon, where the title is The Church Doing Good, okay, as we close out Titus, I want you to just let me review quickly those 7 verses that Paul used, and let me just read them to you. It says in Titus 1:8 that we are to be loving what is good, Titus 2:3 teaching what is good, doing what is good, Titus 2:7, in all things, everything that we do, showing yourself a pattern or a model of good works. Titus 2:14, we're His own special people, zealous, that means totally committed, that means on fire, that means ablaze, devoted, amen? Zealous for good works. Titus 3:1, we are to be ready or eager for every good work. Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying that these things I want to affirm or stress constantly to those who have believed in God. Do you believe in God? Yes. Yeah, amen. Then I'm going to stress this constantly to you today. It says that you should be careful to maintain, that means to concentrate, prioritize, if you will, the doing of good works. These things, meaning good works, are good and profitable to men. Now listen carefully. God's grace, His unmerited, unearned, undeserved divine favor that we walk in 24/7 according to Romans 5:1 and 2. Amen? Now, God's grace does not excuse the believer or the church from good works. Very important. Amen? See, sometimes we have a wrong understanding of what grace actually is. Now, with all that being said, one more scripture, Titus 3:14, and let our people, now that's the Cretans, of course, but also Calvary Chapel, we're bringing it up to for us as well. Let our people also learn, it's amazing to use that word, to learn to do something, to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, and here's the reason, that they may not be unfruitful. This is the church's lifestyle. This is the lifestyle of the believer. It is an habitual lifestyle, that of doing good. Now, we're going to be talking about what doing good, the good works that God has for us this morning. But I want to say something to you because of the day and the time that we are living in. It's important to understand that the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, has absolutely nothing in common with the social gospel movement. Do you understand? Boy, that is prevalent today. And it's really, that came about in the late 1900s or whatnot. And they believe, their system of belief, the social gospel is totally different than what we believe. The social gospel, let me just read it, believes that the betterment of society equals salvation. They say, well, if we feed enough people, educate enough children, if we dig enough water wells, and redistribute enough wealth, then we will see God's kingdom manifest. I could use a good Texas word right now, but I'm not. You know, and listen, even they are sincere in what they believe. They're post-millennialists. In other words, they believe they will usher in the only way to usher in the second coming of Christ is by reforming society. Does that make sense? In other words, if we educate enough people, train enough people, show them the love of God, they'll finally say, hey, you know what? Everything is just better and better and better and gooder, whatever that means, all right? I'm going to ask you a question. Did Jesus come to this earth as a political reformer?
No.
Boy, then you're a well-taught church. Who's your pastor? No. Did Jesus come to wipe out poverty on this planet? No, but he came to wipe out man's sin. Amen. John 29, what did the Baptist tell us? He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now listen carefully. We can feed the poor, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We can feed the poor man. That's wonderful. But does that change their situation? Does it change their eternal destiny? No, not at all. You know, listen, we have built hundreds of homes in Mexico. Amen? And that is a great thing, a great work to give a family a home. And then you guys fully furnished every home. Think about that. However, does that change perhaps their life? Yes, a little. But how about their eternal destiny? No, not at all. No, and it's a good thing to do that. What did God tell us in Proverbs 19:17, which is the foundational scripture for the charity? You know, what did God tell us? What did God tell us? Do you know what? It's amazing. The younger I get, he who has pity, thank you, Lord. The cheese is dangling. Isn't it funny how you forget things? I mean, thousands of times have I quoted that scripture? He who hath pity on the poor. Pity, it doesn't mean I feel sorry for you. It means I do something about it. It's not a handout, it's a hand up. Okay, he who hath pity upon the poor. I love this part. God's word is true, he cannot lie. Lendeth unto God, and he will pay back what is given. That is what we call a loan to God. Can you believe that? That scripture is what built the charity. And so, yes, it's wonderful for the homes and all of that. But listen, good works are not all about material poverty. Good works are mainly about spiritual poverty. Does that make sense? And that is so important that we do that. See, listen, you can change a person's environment, and that's a good thing. And you can give money, and that's a good thing. You can feed that's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to ask you a question. Does that change a person's heart? Does that change a person's destiny? No, the purpose of good works that God has prepared before we were ever born, loved one, the purpose of all of that is that it opens a door for Jesus Christ where we can talk to them. Amen? That's what good works, that's what they do. You must be born again. Now, if we could get everybody born again, would society change? You got it. Then we could agree with the social gospel, right? No. No, and that's what it's about. Now, the Bible has so much to say about doing good and good works. There's no way I could give you all the scriptures. That we'd be here for 3 hours if I was going to do. But let me give you just a few. 3 John 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. He who does good is of God. But he who does evil has not seen God. So good works, what do? We are to imitate what is good. How about Hebrews 13:16? But do not forget to do good and to share with such sacrifices. And sometimes it is a sacrifice. It says that God is well pleased. So good works, they please our Father in heaven. Amen. When the church does what they're supposed to do. How about Romans 12:21? Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Man, we put out evil or darkness by doing good. So goodness is really a powerful weapon, isn't it? Matter of fact, Matthew, what was it, 5:44? It tells us to do good to our enemies. Hello? Do you have an enemy? I do. They hit my car this week. And, oh, yeah, that's my retirement car. Yeah, finally broke down, bought a new car, and what did they do? They just decided to crease the whole side. Not the whole side, I'm sorry, only about 2 feet, 3 feet, or whatever. You know, and they left their number on my windshield, didn't they? No. I don't know why I even told you that. Because I want to do good to that person, that's why. Yeah, no, I do. I want to obey Jesus. I want to do good to that individual. Now, it says also about doing good, it's God's will. 1 Peter 2:15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, that you may silence, that word means muzzle, that you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. In other words, your good works that God has given unto you to do, they should so stun the lost people of this world that they are literally speechless. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to act when they see what the church is doing. Now, are you in Ephesians? Okay. Look at Ephesians, and let's go. You know this scripture so well, but let's start in Ephesians 2. Let's go to verse 4. We know that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. Oh, thank God. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, spiritually dead, trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have what? Been saved. And not only that, look at this. We have been raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As far as God is concerned, that is your spiritual position right this minute. He says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And here it comes, verse 8. You know this scripture as well as I do. For by grace, God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. It says, by grace, you have what? You've been saved. Loved one, that is a completed action. It's a fact. It is a past reality. If Jesus is your Lord, you have been, that's past tense again, saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation can never be earned. You can't work for it. You can't be good enough to get it. You can't do anything. Loved one, salvation from God's grace is a gift to us. Eternal life to be with, that's in, living in us right now, is a gift from our Father in heaven. Amen? Why? What did you do? You just believed. Amen? You said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. And you believed that in your heart. And God saved you. No one, not one person on the planet in any generation has been saved by works. It's impossible. You cannot do it. So salvation from God's grace does something. It eliminates man's boasting. We have nothing to brag about, amen? I mean, nothing. Not listen, God did it all. And human works, a lot of times people believe that, okay, now that I am saved, that my works, because Lord, look what I'm doing, somehow adds to your goodness, which you don't have. We're not good. Okay, if you don't believe me, just look at the last 5 hours or something. No, you know, listen, when we think about it, all that God has done for us, you know, we work and we do this and we think we're gaining God's favor, but you already have God's favor. Does that make sense? So you have to remember, it's very important, after we're saved, our human, or even before we're saved, but now I'm talking about after we're saved, our human works add absolutely nothing to the gift of righteousness that has been imputed into your account. Amen? That you're justified. Listen, declared righteous in the eyes of God because you believe in Christ Jesus. So works add nothing. Do you know what a dead work is? Let me read to you what a dead work is. It says, any attempt to find favor, to earn acceptance, or to be made righteous before God by one's own effort, by one's own ability, or by even one's own willpower, that is a dead work. What does Paul tell us in 1 Corinthians 13:3, I believe it is? He says, if I give all that I have, Say you're a multi-billionaire, okay? You're a Bezos, whatever his name is, or Elton John, I don't know. You know, and you give every penny to the poor. But you don't have the agape of God, the love of God in your heart, and the only way to get that is to be born again. Paul says it profits you absolutely nothing. Nothing. So we think about those works. He says in verse 10, and boy, this is one of our main texts this morning, talking about the church doing good. Now look at it. For we are, right this minute, present tense, we are the church. We are his, or God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Poiema, that's the word in Greek, poiema, workmanship. We are God's workmanship, the body of Christ. I pray that you listen to me just for a moment. And the body of Christ, that's us, loved one. The Christian, we are God's perfect masterpiece. Do you know that? I mean, oh, I look and I say, oh, God, did you know that the church of Jesus Christ that he purchased with his own blood is the greatest masterpiece that God has ever done? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Scripture teaches that. We are God's masterpiece. We are his poema, or his poem. And if we're his poem, a poem only comes in existence by the author, right? So you know what? He's the author of us. And you know what he says? You, each one of you, right this very minute, you are his poem. You are his masterpiece. That is exactly what the Word of God teaches. And you know what? The church, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 3:20 through 21, where it says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's in us, to glory be in the church through Jesus Christ unto all generations forever and ever and ever. Amen? What does that mean? It means that we are the place that where God's glory in this age that we live in now is the place where God's glory should be manifested. Amen? Manifested to a fallen world. Listen, what did John tell us, the Apostle John? He reached out and he said in 1 John 4:4, he says, little children, do you not know greater is he who is in you than he is in this world? Listen, we've overcome this world. Amen? The Bible tells us in Philippians 1:6 that we can be confident of this, that he, meaning God, who began a good work. You are a good work. Say that with me. I'm a good work. Do you really believe that? You're a good work. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will what? He says it will complete it. He'll bring it to completion until the very day of Christ. When God starts something, he finishes it. He finishes it. You're not going to finish it. No. Who's the author and finisher of your faith? You? Jesus is. He's going to finish your faith. Amen? Oh, you see, listen, he's working in you right now. Yeah, but Bill, you don't know what I did this week. I hope you didn't do anything bad. But if you did, run to the throne of grace and repent and say, God, forgive me. I know that's wrong. Be honest with God, man. Listen, we're his poema. That's who we are. And here's what we have to do as we enter 2023, loved one. We have to do something. We have to enter, if the Lord tarries, that is, he could take us home today. But if he does tarry, we have to enter in, beginning right now. In moving forward, we have to enter in seeing the church and seeing yourself as God sees you. Do you understand? We focus so much on self when we should be keeping our eye on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not looking under my failures and this and that. No, that's if I start thinking about me a lot, I get depressed. I don't even like to think about me. No, loved one, listen. We are God's masterpiece. We have to see ourselves that way. Do you know that we are a supernatural family? No, we are. We are a supernatural family, and we're living in a world that is terrified, that is afraid of everything. We don't have to be afraid of anything, amen? Because we're in God. We're in Christ, I mean, amen? Not only are we a supernatural family, we are citizens of heaven. We are an unshakable kingdom. Unshakable kingdom. Now, demons tremble, but we don't have to tremble. We belong to God. Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, you are so good. See, we really are. You've got to see God's masterpiece the way it is. We are, we really are, loved one, the church powerful. We're not the church helpless. We're not the church, oh, I don't know what to do. We know what to do. We know where Christ is. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And we have an invitation to go there anytime we want to. Amen? Are y'all with me? Oh, this is so important. Listen, and look at that part. It says, we are his workmanship. And look at this, created in. This is a very important word. Created in Christ Jesus. That's the new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new. Amen. So we are in Christ Jesus. There are only two kinds of people on the planet in any generation. And there's no middle ground. Either a person is in Adam, and in Adam all die. Or you are in Christ, and in Christ also made alive. Amen? So those are the only two, loved one. We are the branches. He is the vine. We get all of our nourishment. We get all of our strength from him. And every good work comes only from him, and it comes only by him, and we can't do a good work without him. John 15:5, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. We need the Lord for everything. And it says there, created in Christ Jesus, and it tells us why, the purpose. It says, for good works. Now listen, good works do not justify the believer. Good works do not justify the church. They identify the church. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's who we are. We are the church doing good. And that's what this word says. Now listen, if we are truly, as it says in, what is it, Romans 8:29, if we are truly being conformed into the image of Christ Jesus our Lord, if we're being conformed into his image, we will walk in good works. Do you understand? It's very important. And the reason is we were made for good works. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And when did God prepare those good works? There you go. Before the world began. So listen carefully now so we don't get confused. Good works are God's works. Okay? He created them before the world ever began. And good works are only for those that God prepared them for. We do not manufacture good works. That's very important to get that, because that's how you get in trouble. Did you know that? That's how you do things, and then you know what happens? You just, well, I'm just doing that, You enable, that's the word I was trying to find. You enable an individual to continue to live in a lifestyle they shouldn't. Does that make sense? That is not a good work. Okay, good works only come from God. And he is the one who prepared them. Think, listen, only new creations can do God's works that he prepared before the world ever was, that he prepared in eternity. You know, there's a lot of people out there doing good works today, but here's the problem. They will not go into eternity. I'm talking about people that are outside of Christ. Those are not eternal. Do you know that? It's so important that we really grasp onto that. And what is the purpose of it all? It says, it's present tense, by the way, that we should walk in them. Present tense, ongoing, continuously, meaning the habitual lifestyle of the believer. So every believer, we all have been created for good works that have already been prepared long before we ever came into existence. All we have to do, now listen, all we have to do is walk in them not work for them. Very important. Very important. When I say walk in them, meaning what? It means that since good works from God are the habitual lifestyle of a believer, okay? That means that we truly live, if you will, in an atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere of wanting to be zealous for good works. And that's how they come about, is we're listening to the Lord and so forth. So where do we walk? It says walk in them. Where are good works really found? They're found on the narrow road. That's the road that leads to life. That's the road where we're following Jesus, our Lord. What did Jesus tell us in Luke 9:23? Anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself and take up his cross daily and what? Follow me. Travel with me. Have the adventure that I'm having. Come along with me. Boy, loved one, that is so important. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:1, it says, Paul says, listen, that I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling. Your calling to walk worthy. And I'm not going to do the weights. Oh, well, I will do it anyway. You know, remember what the word worthy means? It's a picture of a set of scales that are balanced, okay? 5 pounds and 5 pounds. So here it means equal in doctrine and then in application. So you hear the word of God, you do the word of God. Now you're balanced, amen? If you only hear the word of God and never do the word of God, are you balanced? No. So to walk worthy of our calling, the calling that God has given us. That's why it says in Colossians 1:10, it says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, here it comes, being fruitful in every good work. Now, good works are not, they are not the root, if you will, of the new birth. They're not. Good works, loved one, they are the fruit of genuine salvation. I'm saved. I'm eager for good works. I'm ready for good works. I think about good works. I want to maintain good works. See, it says in James 2:14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren? Or what good is it if someone says, he talks, he says, well, I have faith. I'm a believer. You know, have you not seen me attend church and all that? I sit on the last row or the front row or the middle row and so forth. He says, but if he doesn't have works, in other words, he has profession, but he doesn't have practice. Can that faith or can faith save him? In other words, that kind of faith, does it save a person? If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you from Calvary Chapel says to them, hey, depart in peace and be warm, be filled. You know, in other words, keep your spirits up. I think they're giving food down at the Baptist church or something. You know what I mean? But you don't give them the things which are needed for their body. What does it profit? In other words, what good is it? You see, if what we do in the church, the believer, the church, if what we do lies only in what we say, what comes out of our mouth, well, then what good is our faith if it's just talk? Amen? What good is it? See, isn't it easy to say I'm a Christian? It's easy to say I believe in Jesus. It's easy to say I love my church. It's easy to say I love the lost. It's easy to say I serve and all of that. But what good is it if it's just talk? You see, it doesn't work that way. Listen, today, as never before in the church, it is so easy for believers to substitute words for action. You understand? They substitute word for actions, loved one. But what does it say in James 1:21? Do not be just a hearer of the word, you know, but a doer of the word, deceiving your own selves. Listen, hearing, remember, I've taught you this many times over the years. Hearing God's word, doing God's word is one act. It's not two. Amen? It's just like I always use the example. You know, if I ask someone to stand up and they stood up, they heard and they did, right? It's the same thing. Okay, now we got that. Now listen carefully. Works, good works, never, absolutely never produce salvation, but salvation, being born again, always produces good works if you're born from above. It says in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love, and that's a verb, by the way, that's action, it's not a noun, let us not love in word, or in tongue, but in deed, meaning good works. and in truth. That means sound doctrine. Now, to walk in the good works that God has prepared before us, before time ever began, it requires something on our part. It requires action. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:1, be ye imitators of God as dear children. In other words, the word imitate there, in we get our word mimic, okay? Be imitators of God. And so you say, well, Bill, I can't call the universe into existence. What does that mean? It means, loved one, this, that God, it says dear children. That means God is our Father. Amen? God is our Father. Remember what it says in, was it Romans 8:15? When it says that we have received, we have received the spirit of adoption. We've been adopted. The spirit of adoption where we cry out, Abba, Father, His spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we are co-heirs with Christ. Amen? See, God is our Father. And not only that, loved one, listen, we are now, how can we imitate God? We can imitate God. Why? We're, number one, we're His children, okay? We're born from above. But we're also partakers, there's what I was looking for, partakers of His divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. And we have everything we need to be imitators of God. It tells us in 2 Timothy 3:17 about, you know, the Word of God is God breathed. And since we have that, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So how do we walk in the good things or the good works that God has prepared? Number one, we by doing what Jesus did. Number two, by taking, very important, by taking His yoke and learning from Him. And by following Jesus' perfect example. That's how it's done. Let me give you the scripture, 1 Peter 2:21. It says that Jesus, He has left us an example that we should follow His steps. That word example there, I think it's only found there in the Greek. It's a perfect word. It means to trace His steps. You know, probably none of the younger people will remember, but when I was in the first grade, we had to go buy our school supplies, and we got that, I think it was called the Big Chief or something, remember? And we would trace the alphabet. Okay, and we would trace the alphabet, you know what I mean? And learn, that's how we did it, learned in all, I think it was called the Big Chief anyway. It doesn't really matter, I'd probably get in trouble saying that today. Dear God, what a world we live in. So anyway, what I'm trying to get at is that we would trace out each letter. Now, that's what this word means. We are to be closely tracing out the steps of Jesus our Lord. Why? He is our only example. Our only example. He is our Lord. Amen? 1 John 2:6, it says this, He who says that he abides in Him. And then there's a word, ought. That word means we owe the Lord. We're indebted, okay? It says we ought to walk even as He walked, or just as He walked, that ongoing lifestyle. So if we are the church, and if we're really on fire, if we're truly believers, loved one, listen, if we say we live in Him, we draw strength from Him, we abide in our Savior Jesus Christ, then we are obligated to walk just as He walked. You say, Bill, that just can't be. Loved one, listen to me. Let me tell you what Jesus said in John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus said, he who believes in me, do you believe in Him? Yes. Amen. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now, let me just clarify this now. Jesus is seated. He has ascended. We know that. He's seated at the right hand of God. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen? But, listen to me. Jesus' life on earth is not finished. Jesus lives in His followers. We're the body. He's the head of the church. He lives in us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Oh, listen, loved one. You know, he lives in his followers. What did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I'm dead. It's not me that's living. It's Jesus that lives in me. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is what? Christ. It's not Paul. He says, for me to live, love, he said, is Christ. Not only that, Jesus, is Jesus in his followers? Yes. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's in us right this minute, which means what? That the reason that we can go around doing good is because the one who does good always is in us. Does that make sense? He's in us right this minute. And we can do those things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, Jesus became like us. Man, the God-man. He became like, well, without sin, of course. So we could become like him on this planet. Do you believe that? Oh, that is, we've got to get our minds right. We've got to realize that God wants to take us from glory to glory to glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. Now look at Acts chapter 13 and with me in this great verse that you know. Let me set it up for you. Go to verse 38, Acts 10:38. Peter, of course, he's been preaching in Cornelius's household. And man, the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles. They start speaking in other tongues just like Peter and them did on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter, in his sermon, he goes in Acts 10:38, he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Who went about doing good. And look what he did. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. And you're going, now Bill, wait a minute. This is Jesus. This is supernatural. Yes, it is. And we are to follow his example by doing good. He went about doing good. We're to be doing good. Amen? And you say, well, how does that work? Okay, now listen to me now. A supernatural ministry requires supernatural power. Okay, the good works that God has already prepared in eternity, is God supernatural? Yes. Well, does that mean his works that he has prepared are just natural? No, they're supernatural. Do you understand? They are supernatural. That God prepared. He knows exactly what he wants to do in the life of the believer. They have been pre-prepared for us in this generation. Loved one, listen. The church was birthed by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the only way the church can continue in any generation is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to do anything in our own strength. And this doctrine that I just said, or this pattern, loved one, has not changed. The Christian does good works only by and only through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And you have that power. It says that Jesus, what did he tell us? The last thing he told the disciples before he ascended, he said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not in you. They were already born again. Amen. That when he comes upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. The dunamis of God, the power of God. Oh, loved one, he wants to, if he hasn't come upon you, you need to ask him, come upon me. I'm sealed with the Spirit, yes. But now he wants you full of the Spirit, overflowing with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 is a command. Be ye being filled with the Spirit of God, loved one. Now, with all that being said, Jesus went about doing good. If Jesus went about doing good and he purchased us, filled us with himself and with the Holy Spirit, should not the church go about doing good with good works that God has prepared for us? Amen? Absolutely. Listen, wherever Jesus went, did he do good? Oh, he fed the multitudes, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he healed the leper, loved one, he raised the dead, opened blind eyes. He brought life, he brought hope wherever he went. Now listen, we may not do all the miracles that Jesus did, of course. But we can see people as Jesus saw them. We can have compassion and love. Amen. And that's what we're to do. But can I ask you a question? Because we need to move in 2023 with a different mindset. I believe and know that God is a healer. When is the last time, Christian, I say this not in any way to judge you or make you feel uncomfortable, but to ask you a loving, tender question. When is the last time that you were around anyone who was sick and you laid hands upon them and prayed for them that God would make them whole? If not, why not? The Bible says, James says, pray ye one for another that you might be healed. Well, Bill, that's kind of wild, isn't it? Yeah. It's about time to get wild. No, wild not in the flesh, wild in the spirit. Do you understand? It's time right now for that. Listen, laying hands on the sick. Listen, loved one, let me give you a scripture. Mark 16:15, when Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, giving the great commission, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, these sign gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, and these signs will follow them who believe, meaning that are Christians, that have been saved. He says, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They're going to cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They take up any serpents. We don't do that anymore. But anyway, if they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after Jesus has spoken these words, he was received up into heaven. In other words, he ascended up in heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. And the disciples, not just the 12, hundreds of them, they went out and they preached everywhere, and listen to what Jesus did. He's in heaven, and then it says, and the Lord working with them. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Listen to me. All the gifts of the Spirit, they have not passed away. They are available to all of us as he wills, not as we will. As he wills today. Listen. We are not called to copy Jesus' miracles, but we are called to copy his example in our life. We belong to him, and the church will never be more like Jesus as when we go around doing good works that God has prepared. We'll never love one at all. It says that Jesus healed all who were oppressed by the devil. You know, is the devil still here? All right, that's right. He is, and that means people are still being oppressed. But you said, well, Bill, but it says that God was with him in Acts 13, 8, whatever it was, 38. Well, of course he was. Well, is God with you? Is Jesus with us right now? Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Jesus is with us right now. Listen, we must obey sound doctrine. We must do it. We have to be healthy in 2023, and we have to move into the things of the Spirit by being zealous for good works, being ready for good works, and being rich in good works, as it says in Timothy. No. You know, let me tell you something. Haltom Christian School is God's good work. Do you understand? You are part of something that was planned in eternity. Haltom Christian School is God's good work. He prepared beforehand that we should walk in that. Not only that, loved one, Mexico, our orphan, is it God's good work? Yes. When did he prepare it? Before we were ever born. That we should walk in them. You see those children up there? Are they up there? There you go. There's going to be three pictures. And if we can roll them, because I want the church to see these new children that I talked with Stephen Carroll just yesterday. I'm talking about good works. I'm talking about the good works God has given unto us. Amen? Let me read what Stephen Carroll wrote to me. And then I called him on the phone. It says, He says, "Oh, Bill, we mentioned that the 13-year-old girl that came to the orphanage last week, after an investigation, it turns out she has five other siblings, two sisters, three brothers, and which were abused, found in a horrible condition. And they were all brought to the orphanage on Thursday. As you can see from the photo that was taken when they arrived, they were without shoes. They were filthy." Steve said they hadn't been bathed in over a month. There was no food in their house. There was no electricity. There was no water. There were no parents. There was nothing. 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 He says they were hungry. That being said, a total of six new kids will now be living at the orphanage. It's busy. We're scrambling right now to find enough space and beds and linens and necessities. And the younger one, yes, is 1 year old. More diapers. Twin beds had to be purchased. Babies are sharing cribs together. But thankfully, everything's coming together. Listen to me. That is a good work. It is a good work that God prepared before time ever began. Do you understand? And we are walking in that. The kids' church is a good work. You know what Danielle and them asked? All the kids, you know what they did? I got the names of every kid, and they had handmade Christmas cards made ready for them. They're on my desk right now to be sent down. Oh, loved one, listen to me. What a good work. You know what God says in His Word? He says, oh, don't you be deceived. Galatians 6, don't you be deceived. God is not mocked. Let me back up. You see those kids? You know what you did? You gave them a home. It's a good work. You're feeding them right now. They're not afraid anymore. Steve said, the oldest one finally smiled. Do you understand? To live in that kind of condition, you are in God's supernatural good work. And that's what Mexico is. Calvary Chapel is a good work. It doesn't originate with you or me. The orphanage didn't originate with you or me. It came from God. Amen. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked, the Bible says. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit, eternal life. And let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good. I don't see anyone exhausted out here from doing good. Just passed out from doing good. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, based on what I just read, as we have opportunity. The word opportunity means as God opens the door for us. Let us do good to all. Every person, the lovable, the unlovable, the lost, the saved. That's the great commandment, to love thy neighbor as yourself. Amen? Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Listen to me now. Calvary Chapel Fort Worth is not my work, it's God's work. It was originated in eternity before anything ever was. It is God's good work. The tent ministry is God's good work. Do you understand? It's not our work. It's His work. And we get to participate in a supernatural good work from God and see supernatural things happening. Haldrum Christian School is God's good work. Mexico is God's good work. And you know what? They're going to be mentioned in eternity. No, I'm sorry. Let me apologize to you. They've already been mentioned in eternity. Because God prepared them. He knew all about what we're doing right now because He prepared them in eternity for us to walk in. Listen to me now. When we do good, when we walk in the Spirit, and we embrace the good works that God has prepared for us in eternity, and every person, you have good works that God has prepared for you. They may be small, sometimes huge, who knows? But I do know this, whenever people see the good works that God has prepared and we do them, when we walk in them, they see God's love and God's goodness in action. Yes. We have to move into 2023. We have to deny ourselves. Boy, we have to move forward and say, Lord, whatever you want, we want to do. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what happens whenever we do that? Remember what Jesus told us in Matthew 15:16? He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify our Father in heaven. Your works, the things that God has called us to do, we don't get the glory. We participate in His glory. Do you understand? He gets the glory. I do not know what's coming, but I'm telling you, as we move forward, and yes, I know the Christmas season and the Christmas messages and all that are coming, and I'm sorry to say that my mind and my heart, they're already in January. Is that okay? If we will only do what God says, if we will just say, Lord, listen to me. What do you want? What do you really want when you die? No, listen to me. Listen to an old man just for a moment. And I know I intimidate people when I step down. And I don't mean to intimidate only you. No. Listen to me. What do you want on your epitaph? What do you want on your tombstone? Or how about in the Four-Star Telegraph? Well, Billy Boy, he grew up in Keller, graduated from Keller. Yeah, he loved fishing, loved hunting. He collected Corvettes and, you know. That's it? Is that what we want? No. You know what we want? Listen to me. God in the beginning said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. I'm going to say something. When God made Adam, did God somehow, because God is spirit, did he bend over and he looked at Adam that was made in his image and see, go, I see my reflection. Did God see his reflection? Did the Creator see his reflection in what he created? We are to behold our Savior. And as we behold him and look into his face, the unseen Lord who is with us now, we then become the reflection of Jesus Christ to this world. I don't want to be like Paul. I don't want to be like Peter. I don't want to be like John. I want to be like Jesus. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for this day. We love you. We praise you. We want to be like you. We want to love like you, forgive like you, walk like you, think like you. We want to be like Jesus. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the honor of standing here in this work that you prepared before time began. How privileged each of us should be, O God. How privileged we should be. I give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.